I wonder if you, normally at the beginning of the year, I challenge you to read the Bible if you never have. Read it from cover to cover because I think it's good for us, and I hope that you're doing that, maybe for the first time or the second time, or maybe you just completed it last year. But if you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that again. And if you've never read the whole Bible, I want to encourage you to go to the Psalms and read the Psalms. There's a lot of them, but they're so good. I want you to turn to Psalm 146 this morning. If you've got your Bible with, and I hope you do, we're going to spend some time in looking at this short chapter in 146. Today we're going to have communion, and we're going to save time for that. But I want us to praise the Lord this morning, first and foremost. If you have read the Psalms, you know that the last half a dozen or so all start out with praise the Lord. And I love the last phrase of the last psalm when it says to let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And so I just thought today would be a good day to do that. It's a beautiful morning. It's communion morning. It's the start of a new month. And it's the Lenten season. And I just thought it was another good opportunity to praise the Lord. So here's what we're going to do. If you have your Bible and or I think Tim will have it on the big screen for us, I'm going to start out with these first four lines. I'm going to read them and then you read them back. How about that? You ready? You got that? You got that figured out, haven't you? The first one's really simple. It says, praise the Lord. In response, you would say the same thing. Ready? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And then it says, praise the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord, O my soul.
While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now the key is, do we mean it? You see, friends, the psalmist writes there, while I'm alive, I'm going to praise Him. While I'm alive and while I have my being, I'm going to praise Him. And I wonder this morning, friends, as long as we are alive, will we continue to praise Him? You say, yes, Jim, I can do that. I can do that easily. I'm pretty sure of it. What if things go badly? What if things go south on you? What if you lose things, materially speaking, health speaking, family? Will you still sing praises to the Lord God while you have your being? That's what we just said. I visited some very sick folks the last few days. Our folks, our family, our church people. Cancer's beating them up. And in their heart, in their frailty, they are still praising and rejoicing in the Lord. Just like the psalmist said, while I live, I will praise the Lord. It's easy to say that, but then when trouble hits, I wonder if we'll still do it. I wonder if all of our life long, even if we're getting beat up by cancer or we've lost everything, I wonder, will we still do what we've just said? While I'm alive, I'm going to praise the Lord. Will we still do it? I wonder if you heard Jim Daly, president of Focus on the Family, talking about the ministering to the 21, to the families of the 21 that were beheaded in Egypt. Anybody hear that this last week? Some of you did, very few of you. Let me just share, take a couple of minutes to share a little bit about that, because it fits right here when the psalmist said, while I'm still alive, I'm going to praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I still have my being. This fits. We all know about the 21 Christians that were beheaded in Egypt just a short time ago. We all know about that. News made that very real to us. Facebook and social media made that very real to us. And in the Middle East, Focus on the Family has some people there that do outreach, and one of them is named Sammy Jacob. And this person and others intentionally went to the families of the 21 men that were beheaded. They intentionally went to minister to them. And Jim Daly writes, and he said, for the past 2 days, this is just this week, Sammy's team has been given the privilege of ministering to these families of these murdered men. They've counted a blessing to sit on the dirt floors in these very humble households to fellowship and to pray and to share the eternal hope that we have in common. Their reports of what they have seen, heard, and experienced was remarkable. As they looked towards these visits, there was a sense in which the team was unprepared for all that unfolded before them. They anticipated spending a brief time with each family of each group of loved ones, assuring them of the Lord's presence and watch and care and praying for their physical needs. That's what they intended to do. But what they encountered amongst these people was both unexpected and overwhelming, and it was powerfully witnessed to the timeless universality of the Scripture. In one of the staffer's words, he said, "Today we have seen the living Bible." Repeatedly through their time together, Bible lessons and characters from Scripture verses sprang to life, and this from Christians who are 90% illiterate and whose limited knowledge is based on scriptural stories that they have heard and committed to memory. He writes, "I believe that our team encountered was a powerful testimony to the work of the Holy Spirit." Let me give you one example, he writes. We all remember the story of King David as he struggled with the reality of a gravely ill son. That's in 2 Samuel 12. I think you know that story. It was a season for David of grieving and pleading with God, but no divine reply seemed to come. When his son passed away, though, you can read all about this, like I said, in 2 Samuel 12. When his son passed away, contrary to his servant's expectation, King David got up, he washed, he anointed himself, and he worshipped. While his son lived, he fasted and wept and prayed and cried out to God that God might be gracious to him. But when his son died, fasting gave way to worship and an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. When the son died, he got up and he washed himself, and it confused his servants. They thought, what in the world is going on with him? This is exactly what Sammy and the team encountered to these families in Egypt. They saw the same thing happen in these families. In the first week, the family said, these families heard that their sons and their husbands and their brothers had been kidnapped in Libya. The following 35 days were characterized by silence, and understandably accompanied by mourning and sleeplessness and weeping. And then, when they received the reports, their family, these young men, had been gruesomely murdered. At first, these family members were in fact shocked and broken in spirit. But within hours, Sammy reports, their emotions gave way to a sense of rejoicing in the eternal reality of the martyrs' homegoing. Remember what the verse you just said? While I live, I will praise the Lord. They lived that out in Sammy's presence this week. Can you imagine, Jim Daly writes, in fact, one bereaved father who lost his son didn't sleep the entire 47 days they had his son. Upon watching the video of the executions, he slept soundly that night. How does one account for this supernatural response? It can only be explained by turning to the promises made in God's Word that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, Psalm 34:18 says. He writes to conclude, "The heart commitment of these dear believers is not only inspirational, but almost incomprehensible to those of us in the West. These individuals live in abject poverty. They live with houses with dirt floor, if they have houses at all. They lost these young men. These young men represented their hope for the future. And yet, not one family expressed a need for physical provision. Instead, with smiles on their faces, they conveyed a sense of peace, reliance on, and gratitude to Christ for His sufficiency. Not one word of bitterness directed toward their ISIS tormentors." You see, friends, when we read and when we quote this together, like we did, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I'm still going to praise Him. These people were praising God even in spite of losing 21 men to beheadings. And I'm not minimizing what you're going through, because some of you are going through some very, very difficult times too. But I just ask us the question, can we do it? Will we do it? Will we continue to praise the Lord? I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Will we do it in face of difficulty? The psalmist goes on. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. And he answers the question, why? Because their spirit will depart. He returns to his earth. And what? In that very day, his plans perish. And sometimes we want to put our hope and faith in man. We want to put our trust in the president or the pope or the priest or the pastor or somebody else. And the psalmist reminds us here, don't put your trust in people. Put it in the Most High God. The very next verse he says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. That's when we know happiness. That's when these people in Egypt and Libya knew happiness, because they put their faith in the living God. Not in princes, not in people, not even in their own family. But happy, the psalmist said, is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is he whose hope is in the Lord. I wonder today, friends, does our hope lie in Him? Or does it lie in something else? Because we'll always be disappointed if we put our hope in something else. We'll always be disappointed if we put our hope in titles, in degrees, in possessions, in stuff. We'll always be disappointed if we put our hope in the stock market and in savings accounts and everything else. But happy, the psalmist said, is he who has God of Jacob for his help. I say hallelujah. We can know that happiness in spite of horrible circumstances. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. And then he describes him who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever. You know what? There's someone that Jesus called the father of all lies. And he's going to lie to you. We call him the devil. We call him Satan. The Bible called him Lucifer. The psalmist reminds us here, God who keeps truth forever. The enemy will whisper lies to you. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything the preacher says. The enemy will whisper lies to you, but the psalmist reminds us God keeps His truth forever. He goes on to continue to describe Him in verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. We saw these 48 men from Teen Challenge here the other day talking about freedoms, talking about healing. And the psalmist reminds us again, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoner. And friends, let me just say to you again today, sin will hold us captive. Sin will hold us and keep us captive, and God wants to set us free from that through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and it means that the Lord gives freedom to the prisoner. We don't have to be held captive to the bondages that these men talked about 2 weeks ago. We don't have to be held captive to sin anymore, because the Lord wants to give freedom to the prisoner. That's what the psalmist said. He knew it, and we can know it in Christ. He goes on. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Oh, and how oftentimes the enemy wants to blind us. How oftentimes the enemy wants to darken the truth. How often the enemy wants to cloud the truth. The psalmist writes, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The devil is always trying to keep us in the dark, trying to keep you doubting, trying to keep you angry at God. But the psalmist reminds us, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. I'm going to wrap this up so we can go to communion here in just a minute, but let me just say a word about that, friends. The Bible refers often to strangers and aliens. All you got to do is look in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance or your Bible in Concordance, and you will see aliens. You will see strangers often. Let me just say this. Today, I fear too oftentimes we may refer to them as illegal immigrants. Let me just say this, brothers and sisters, in Christ, our obligation to these people is to love them and to point them to Christ. When we encounter somebody on the streets, it is not our obligation to say, are you legal or not? That's not our role as Christians. Our obligation is like the psalmist said about the living God. The Lord watches over the stranger, and our obligation is to love the stranger and to love the alien and to invite them into the kingdom. Yes, the government has a role. Yes, they need to do something about this wrangling and wrestling we're doing in this arena called illegal immigrants. But I will assure you, the Bible talks a lot about the stranger. And in this case, when he says the Lord watches over the strangers, he's talking about the people that are other than Jews, other than the children of Israel. And he said the Lord watches over them too. The Lord watches over the strangers, the psalmist reminds us, who at that time was anyone that was not of the children of Israel. Lastly, he relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. And he ends as he started, praise the Lord. And I hope during this Lenten season, brothers and sisters, we can do just that. I hope you're spending time in prayer. If you don't have a prayer book, there's still a few more back here on the back table. It'll guide you through every day of this Lenten season. And you can see in your bulletin towards the end of this season of Lenten period in praying. We're going to gather churches, four or five churches together. You can see it in your bulletin. We're going to gather to pray at the Staples Assemblies of God on a Sunday evening. And so I hope that this Lenten season will find you in a time and an attitude of praise. Praise the Lord. Just like the psalmist said, praise the Lord.